in this, there is no, there is a, pardon me, Your Honor.
No, that's okay. Let me ask a different way. Is there a regulation that says you can send in a disagreement and request a re-review by the RO?
I don't believe that there's a specific regulation, but well, in the context of this regulation, the notice of disagreement is part of the appeals process.
Correct. So if somebody sends in, somebody gets a notice that says you can disagree, and they send in a disagreement, why would you attribute it to anything but a notice of disagreement and a right to appeal?
Well, the regional office would be interpreting this, and they could interpret it in such a way that the veteran would be requesting just that the regional office review.
And what's the regulation that governs that?
I don't believe that there is a particular regulation that governs that, but in the context of the regulations read as a whole, looking toward the new and material evidence, for example, that 3.156, it indicates that new and material evidence submitted during the time of a pending claim before the RO will be considered to go to that claim. So there would be there's an indication within the regulation that the evidence or letters submitted may be considered by the RO prior to, instead of initiating directly an appeal
to
the board.
So after these two letters were written by the veteran expressing disagreement, where is the RO action taken after that?
I would direct your attention to the last letter sent by the RO, which indicates that the decision was made on all available evidence, and then it states, we will gladly give further consideration to your claim upon receipt of evidence which would show that your knee disability was incurred during service.
So this is record at 53?
Pardon me, yes, Your Honor. And the Secretary would argue that in the context of the correspondence, you had indicated the appellant's two previous letters. In the first letter, the appellant requested some kind of follow-up. Subsequent to that, the VA responded and indicated that his service medical records had been checked and there was the evidence on which their decision was based. In appellant's follow-up letter, he indicates that all the evidence, or he believes that all the evidence hadn't been considered, and goes on to indicate several individuals who could provide evidence or provide statements regarding his condition. And in response to that, the VA followed up with the letter that was at record at 53, which indicated that they were willing to accept those statements. So the regional office at that time had considered appellant's letters and responded accordingly after reviewing the indications from his requests, from his argument, or from his correspondence.
Do you believe that the board applied the correct regulation in this case?
I do, Your Honor.
I do.
The Secretary's position is that the regulation in 1971 did require both some expression of disagreement as well as to evidence an intent to appeal. And
well, how do you explain the difference in, number one, the difference in the wording itself with regard to the specificity required with regard to the notice of appeal and the substitution of the word must for should as described by counsel for the appellant?
I would direct your Honor's attention, number one, again, to the context regarding the appeal, and...
No, I'm just talking about the difference in the... There's clearly a difference in the wording in the regulation, is there not?
There is, Your Honor.
Now, did the Secretary decide to change that wording just because they wanted to change the wording, or did they have some intention for changing the word? Because it's, in changing a regulation, there's an involved procedure that goes on, right?
That's correct. Actually, as part of that procedure, Your Honor, In the commentary to the change in the regulation, the secretary or the VA indicated at the time of the revision from to 20.201, the Federal Register from 1992 indicates that VA has always been and will continue to be liberal in determining what constitutes a notice of disagreement. The continuation of this policy is demonstrated by the lack of a requirement for special wording and the use of the phrase can be reasonably construed. Nevertheless, some indication with which reasonable persons can construe as a disagreement with a determination by the agency, as well as a desire to appeal that determination, is at the very heart of what constitutes a notice of disagreement.
Okay, well, don't you think that that's the reason that they clarified the wording? Don't you think that they were trying to, don't you think that those words have some, the change in the words have some import and indicate a, if nothing more, a clarification?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I believe that the VA indicates that that is always, it is merely a clarification, is that the policy and the requirement has always been in place.
Let me ask this another way. The board, within its decision, if not quote, certainly paraphrases the regulation. Do you believe that they quoted the regulation as it existed in 1971, or the one that was later revised in 92 or 93?
Your Honor, in the board decision, the literal reading of the literal quotation I could refer to. When you indicated that they quoted the regulation, Your Honor, was that at record at 8? I believe at record at 8 they're actually paraphrasing.
Okay.
I don't see a direct quote, and I would argue that the paraphrasing that the board applied for the regulation was indeed correct. Now, as to a literal quote, that would, of course, not be the case under 19.113. But the paraphrasing that the board made is consistent with VA's interpretation of its regulation.
Well, they make a pretty strong, the board relies pretty strongly on the word appellate. They even have it italicized in their decision, correct?
Correct.
Now, again, we're parsing words here, but looking at the 19.113 in 1997, I don't see that emphasis in that regulation. Can you point me to where it exists, and if so, why those two formulations would be consistent?
I would not be able to point you to an actual the actual word appellate in the regulation. However, the secretary would argue.
Can I clarify which reg are you talking about?
I'm sorry, I'm talking about 19.113. The 1971 version.
While the actual word appellate review does not appear in the regulation, the secretary would argue that the context of the regulation in within Chapter 19, which deals with the Board of Veterans' Appeals, would indicate that the review would be an appellate review.
Okay, but would you, is it fair to say that the board focused its attention on the specificity in implying a requirement that appellate review be specified in the notice of disagreement in order in the communication in order for them to accept it as a notice of disagreement?
I would agree that they did, and I would respectfully argue that they did it correctly.
Okay, I understand. Your position is that the board did in fact emphasize appellate review. But did you believe that that is consistent with the wording of the regulation as it existed at the time?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, and so if I could follow up on that. Now, let's assume we were to disagree with that, that we believe that the board applied the wrong regulation. In other words, they were, the board member, being very familiar with the statutes and regulations that they apply on a daily basis, had in the board member's mind the current regulation in 2004, whenever this decision was issued, and made their decision based upon what was in their mind rather than going back and reading the 1971 decision. Let's assume we find that they applied the wrong regulation. What should we do in that case? Should we review it on a de novo basis because it's a question of law, as our current case law says? Or should we remand it to the board for them to apply what we believe to be the correct regulation? And why?
The Secretary's position is that the case should be remanded for the application of the correct, if assuming that the board applied the incorrect law, that it would be proper for this court to remand the case to the board in order for the application of the correct regulation. Given that the interpretation of the correspondence from appellant is primarily a factual interpretation, is that some deference would be owed to the board's finding of fact in that case.
What makes that a factual determination?
As the finder of fact, the board has the best position as the body required to make an initial determination that the, you know, that a document is, or the RO actually is the one that makes the initial determination, but the board, prior to this court's review, has to make that initial determination, and that is based on it's a primarily a factual determination.
But what makes reading the words that are in the letter to the RO a factual determination?
What is the fact?
Well, I would argue that the facts are the not only the documents that are before the board, but as well as the context. They're the ones making a determination as to the what interpretation is to be drawn, and that would be a finding of fact.
Let me, and Judge Mormon, if you want to jump in at any time, because I think it's your question too, but I can understand if the board were to find, let's say there was a dispute upon when the document was received, and there were various facts in the record that, you know, that made it appear to have been received at different times by the board, by the RO. And the board made a finding, this document, which is purported to be an NOD, was received on this date. And that made a difference because it had to be received within a year. I can understand how that is a factual determination. I'm a little bit muddled about where the factual determination is in this case, when it seems to me what you're saying is that the board is looking at the words, which are a combination of words in this document, and drawing essentially a legal conclusion that those words do not amount to a request for review, or as you would phrase it, a request for an appellate review, which seems to me closer to an interpretation or a legal determination. Now, can you parse that out for me? Because we're looking at three different standards of review that we have here, and I think, and this is one of the rare cases where I think it may make a difference.
I think you're correct, Your Honor. In if I could sort of direct your attention to sort of similar applications of the clearly erroneous standard before this court. As you had mentioned, timeliness of notice of disagreement is reviewed under a clearly erroneous standard. That's a clear factual determination. In addition to that, the adequacy of notice under VCAA is also reviewed under a clearly erroneous standard. I would direct your to Prickett and also to Mayfield as well as Lockett.
Mayfield says substantially factual.
That's correct.
Our court says factual, but the Federal Circuit says a substantially factual determination.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right. And whatever the difference is, I don't know.
Yeah. I would argue that in this case, the determination as to whether or not an NOD was sufficient, or whether or not a letter was sufficient to be regarded as a notice of disagreement, would be a substantially factual determination, is that it would be an application of the facts before the board to settle law. Again, assuming arguendo that the board in this case had the correct law, and you do not find that they did not have the correct law, that application would be a primarily factual determination.
But isn't there a difference between determining whether or not a particular set of words amounted to providing somebody with the wherewithal to understand what they needed to do in order to perfect their claim, the notice issue, as opposed to looking at a set of words and saying these are or are not an NOD? In this case, couldn't you take that letter to the RO and strip away context entirely and reach the same determination as to whether or not those words constitute an NOD? And isn't that the distinction?
Well, the Secretary would argue, Your Honor, that while it is the case, is that similar to the review of a new material evidence type cases, as indicated by this case in Saviso, the determination as to whether a document is new is a relatively easy determination, it's whether or not it's duplicate. But whether or not it's material is a little bit more intense inquiry, and that inquiry is undertaken and also reviewed under a clearly erroneous standard. So,
what about an informal claim? Would it be very similar to an informal claim?
I believe
that one had been filed.
As according to in Westbury, it is first determined whether or not the actual application of law is a the application of the correct law would be reviewed under an arbitrary and capricious standard. But the facts, as noted in this case, or this court's case in Criswell, would be reviewed under a clearly erroneous standard. So, although it is somewhat similar to
I was just throwing out the thought that an informal claim involves the intent to file a claim, a request for a notice of disagreement involves the intent to seek review, appellate review, as you're arguing.
That's correct.
And what is the standard review on the
Standard of
claim?
Review in an informal claim is arbitrary and capricious.
Also, what about the position of that I thought you said, which was it was a totality of the circumstances in context? Did you mean that in context of the letter or totality of the circumstances? Because the board on page 8 certainly discussed the two letters, but it also in the very same discussion noted the action by the regional office in response to those two letters, which you had also pointed to. So is the determination one that is focused solely on one letter, or is it the totality, or?
The Secretary would argue that it is based on a totality of an interpretation of the documents, or all the correspondence that was received. And in this particular context, the context or the time frame in which they were received is the appellant's claim was denied, and he filed a letter with the regional office, who responded in kind to his concerns. He filed another letter in response, indicating that all the evidence hadn't been considered. And the RO again responded that all the evidence had been considered, and if he had additional evidence, there was a mechanism by which he could submit that. Following that, the appellant took no action for 22 years. So in that context and in the interpretation of the regional office and the employees of the agency who must take a look at this correspondence that does not have a clear statement, there's no you know, I want to seek somebody else's opinion on this, I want to appeal, some indication, not that there is a magic word requirement, but just in interpreting the documents, the agency's employees, you know, construed them as best they could in the context that they had arrived.
In your supplemental brief of the law, you you rely on page 9 on Lennox. Walk me through that piece of your argument, would you please?
Yes, Your Honor. The in Lennox, it indicates that when reviewing, you know, as the finder of fact, the board is best suited to make the indicate, you know, to make the findings on the ground, because they have their hands on the evidence and have made their, you know, have seen the witnesses, and they are best.
From that block quote that you have there, what's the significance of the second sentence? Explain that to me, if you would, please. The one that starts so too.
Well, I would argue, Your Honor, that again, that would be a situation in where primarily a legal determination is being where it's describing a situation in which a legal determination is being made by the board, as opposed to a factual interpretation.
Isn't that what the court is being asked to look at here, where you have this document that has particular words on it, and we're being asked to review whether or not those words constitute an NOD? Isn't that akin to what the court was referring to in Lennox when it said this is a situation where it ought to be reviewed de novo by the court, because essentially it stands for the proposition that these words either do or do not equal an NOD, and therefore become a definition of the law?
I would direct Your Honor's attention to the following sentence, which indicates that the board's determination of disputed facts or the application of established law to the facts of a particular case without creating precedent, that in such a situation as that, the clearly erroneous standard applies. And the Secretary would argue that in the application of the laws regarding a notice of disagreement, is that that would be an established law that would be acceptable for the board to apply in its own determination, that would be entitled to deference by this court, as it is an established law and not a complex application of law. I mean, the notice of disagreement standard is at issue in this case has been around even prior to this court, and so the board's expertise in determining what is or what is not a notice of disagreement should be entitled to some deference, its factual determinations as to that.
But haven't you just told me that's a legal determination? At least that's what I thought I heard you say, that we should provide deference to a determination by the board that this particular set of words equals an NOD under established law. And what special expertise does the board have to read those words and determine whether or not they're an NOD?
Well, Your Honor, the Secretary would argue that the board's expertise is in its review of all of notices of disagreement that come before it. I mean, there's a notice of disagreement is a requirement for the board to have jurisdiction. So their review would be is the review of that of the sufficiency of an NOD is based on that, and their experience in that is wide ranging because it's regarding their own jurisdiction. I'm sorry.
Let me see if I can tell you what it is that's troubling me here. usually when you're talking about determinations of fact, you're talking about things that involve weighing evidence, credibility, the weight to be given to one body of opinion versus another body of opinion. Those kinds of judgments that are best reflected in factual determinations by the board. The problem that I have here is that this is a situation, it appears to me, that moves over into a different, perhaps moves over to a different category where you're dealing with nothing more than looking at a snapshot in time, if you will. No factual determinations to be made except the ones that counsel for the appellant pointed out, timely and evidence disagreement. So no other factual determinations to be made except, does this set of words equal an NOD? And I'm having trouble seeing where the board's judgment comes into play with regard to this set of words.
Your time is up. Thank you.
I would like to extend the time to hear an answer.
How much time would you like to give?
A minute or two.
All right, we'll give you 2 minutes.
Respectfully, Your Honor, I would argue that would be in that situation, it would be more akin to an informal claims determination as under Westbury, in that sense, where the law, the sufficiency under law is analyzed, but the board's findings of fact are again reviewed under a clearly erroneous standard.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You have 8 minutes and 30 seconds if you want.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the court. For the record, Elgin Nygaard appearing on behalf of Mr. Gerald Palmer, United States Air Force veteran. Since the Secretary has argued or agreed that the issue of whether or not is filed is determined by a totality of all the communications, should we not consider the communication on page 51 of the record, which in fact is a VA form from the trial court, from the RO, 3230 VA form signed by an officer of the regional office, citing the claim number of this case, saying set up as NOD, develop? Question mark. So there's a big question here at the trial court level, who, as Judge Mormon pointed out, is the one who looks at these facts and has the presence there to look at facts. That was a piece of evidence that I would have thought would have been part of this communication. Secretary cites in their amended brief, Calero versus West, and that citation was 136 Fed 3rd, 1304 Fed Circuit, 1998. And I want to point to that for a different reason than was cited by the Secretary. In that case, the jurisdiction, the court says the jurisdiction of the Court of Veterans Appeals is set forth 38 U.S.C. sections 7252 and 7261, the latter reading in pertinent part, because I think we can get some guidance from this. In any action brought under this chapter, the Court of Veterans Appeals, to the extent necessary to its decision and when presented, shall hold on lawful and set aside decisions, findings, conclusions, rules, and regulations, etc., issued by the Sub A, arbitrary, capricious, and abusive discretion, or otherwise not in accordance with law. Or otherwise not in accordance with law. And B, contrary to constitutional right, power, privilege, or immunity, and in excess of statutory jurisdiction, authority, or limitations. There's a broad range of power granted to this court to look at this matter that occurred in 1971. And then sub D, without observance of procedure required by law. I think Calero has some meaning in this case also. Although the veteran, Mr. Palmer, did not expressly use the term notice of disagreement in his letter, it's clear that his letters disagreed with the VRO's decision. He made specific written arguments about additional evidence that hadn't been considered. Have you looked at? Did you find? He also asked that his claim be that they reconsider, they look again. And this court has held that nods do not require special wording, but rather must be in terms which can be reasonably construed as disagreement with that determination and a desire for appellate review. 38 CFR 20.201, of course, the current day statute. But you can see Billy D. versus West, 12 Vet App 396 at page 399, 1999, citing the current rule 201. And then Fenderson versus West, 12 Vet App 119 at 128, 1999 case. Buckley versus West, 12 Vet App 76 at page 82, 1998. There's a lot of cases that point to this filing of a nod not having to use the words specifically, I wish review or appellate review. After a claimant files a nod, the VRO has no discretion to reject or withdraw it. That's CFR 38 CFR section 20.204 sub C. The VRO may not withdraw a notice of disagreement or a substantive appeal. It has to act on it. It has to send out the statement of case and start the ball rolling. So once the veteran, Mr. Palmer in this case, submitted his nod to the VRO was required to send him that SOC.
Mr. Nygaard, with regard to this correspondence back and forth between the RO and the veteran, this letter from the RO at record 39, which concludes with this paragraph that includes a statement, if you have no further evidence but believe this decision is not correct, you may initiate an appeal to the board by filing a notice of disagreement at any time within a year. A notice of disagreement is simply a written communication which makes clear your intention to initiate an appeal and the specific part of the decision with which you disagree. It should be sent to this office. In the absence of a timely appeal, this decision will become final.
You want me to respond
and
to that?
And then the appellant responded to that letter. But he didn't say anything the way that I read his letter that indicates that he wanted anything more than the RO to take another look at his claim. How would you answer that?
Your Honor, I would ask this court to put yourselves in the shoes of this layperson not represented by counsel, who has read this boilerplate at the bottom as evinced by the fact that he sent in a letter and followed up with another letter when once again they denied or responded to that letter. I believe that Mr. Palmer thought he was doing what is required by that. He doesn't understand the terms of art that we as barristers do in this room. I don't believe that he had a clue that he had to put those specific words of review, appellate review, reconsideration, whatever word you want to find. I think he thought he was complying with this. His very anger in those letters suggested that he was responding to this notice. And he didn't agree with it. Even the judge in the BVA states that in his opinion, that this shows disagreement. I don't think he can do much more. I admit, I think under today's standard, you have to do more. Because it's must as opposed to should. Thank you. I guess I could sum up by saying I urge you to vacate this judgment and remand. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. The case will be submitted. We'll come down and greet Counsel.